We are live on a Friday night. This is Warm Beer and a Cheap Seat. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike. And we're featuring also Big Ed. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Glad to be back on the show.
Friday.
Friday. Friday. Friday. Dookie, dookie.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Take this job and shove it. Boom,
boom, boom. I ain't working here no more. That's for all of our Tampa and former Tampa residents.
You know, all you tampons that live abroad.
That's right. Q-Zoo.
Right. So we're back, and more importantly, Big Mike is back.
I'm back, and just want to clear it up. I was not cheating on you with another podcast. I'd never do that. I'm a pretty loyal guy. I'm a one podcast guy.
Okay.
I'm not gonna, Is that Big Ed breathing in the background?
I got my mic off.
Wow, that's kind of unbecoming. But hey,
maybe that was Petey.
Maybe it was Petey.
Petey getting out of the rubble. Petey's been hanging low lately.
Hi, Big Ed.
What's up, guys? What's up, you two old ladies hugging makeup?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I was actually visiting with family.
Sometimes later.
Yeah, a little later on. After the show, we'll watch hockey spooning. That sounds gross.
Yeah.
Just saying that just made me barf a little in my mouth, a little.
Just don't make it weird.
Yeah. How could it not? It's really weird now. But anyways, I had family down from South Carolina and New Jersey. I had a visit with my mother's sisters, who my father is not the biggest fan of. Can I say that over the air?
Sure.
You already did.
If they know my podcast, then I don't know. So the truth is out, everybody.
No.
Big John is not a fan of the Bigley sisters.
Does the sister listen? Your sister.
My sister does not.
Oh, okay. Right. Then you're fine.
No, she already knows. She knows about that, too. It's like no secret on the Sika side of the family.
Right.
But on my mother's side, the Bigley side of the family, it's kind of, they're oblivious to
secret's
it.
Out there. The
secret's out.
Secret's and out. All our 14 people that are listening today, they're like, oh. Ooh.
Might be 15 people, Big Ed. 15.
Yeah, Big Dave.
You know who the one you got to really worry about is that Jimmy Mike. He's a little, like a chatter.
Chattering Jimmy Mike. So here we are. It's Friday.
Friday. We got playoff hockey. Oh, jeez. What's going on, Jimmy? Jimmy, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, there we
go. Can hear you.
Jimmy Mike.
Test. Live. I'm in. I'm live. 8 o'clock.
That's right. Oh, there's the beer can building. We got NBC Sports Network on. The Lightning are home. Game 7. The semifinal with the Stanley Cup against the New York Islanders. This is it. All the marbles. Apparently, that's what they're really playing for. Marbles, folks.
Are they old marbles or new marbles?
Doesn't matter. Marbles never age.
Well, as long as they're big.
Old ones are a little more valuable. I've lost my marbles.
Bigger the better.
I have not yet found
them. Actually, that's going to be the name of Die Hard 6. My marbles never age.
Are they going to do a Die Hard 6? How many Die Hards have they done?
I think they've done 5.
They might as well. They're doing the Fast and Furious 9. I mean, whatever they couldn't do the first 8 times, they have to do again. Guys, get the cars out of the closets, whatever, the fucking garage.
I never thought after the third one, I'm like, well, that series is dead.
Here we are.
And that was 6 movies ago.
We got John Cena in this one.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren, too.
Yes. It looks pretty ridiculous. John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother.
Yeah, because they look like brothers.
Right, right. Not only do they look like brothers, this guy who talks about nothing but family It's all about my family. Has never mentioned his brother.
His brother.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. Plot holes. We're already finding.
Well, because his brother's really a coward. That's why.
Oh, so is he like dead to him or something? You're dead to me.
Listen, I mean, even the bandit knew when to hang it up.
Yeah,
but they're gonna make $1 billion on this movie. So like, I guess if you keep making $1 billion, I guess you just keep cranking them out.
I guess so. I won't. They won't get one of my dollars.
They're working already on 10, by the way.
See,
hey,
stop.
Vin Diesel say he wants to do two more, at least two more with him. On top of they already have the spinoff, the Hobbs with The Rock,
right?
And Jason Statham. They're probably doing another one of those. Forget the Marvel universe. We're talking about
the
Fast and the Furious universe.
Yeah. Good God.
Yep. Hey, and they got to stay true to canon.
Well, you know, speaking of Fast and the Furious, I took a girl.
Hey, I think you guys should put on the NBC. Are you guys watching the Olympics right now, the trials?
No, we got hockey on.
Hockey.
Yeah, I could see that. I switched back at a commercial. They're doing a... Oh, wait, they already did it. I have this recorded.
What do you have recorded?
When I called you guys, I just paused when I was watching the track and field.
Oh, were they doing the steeplechase?
No, I did that last night. That was like interesting.
Well, they were doing it again. That was like the semifinals today. Today they were doing the finals on steeplechase.
Well, look at that arena.
Yeah, they're packed. They're getting loud at the Amelie. Yep.
That's a nice sight right
that's
there.
That's fitting, seeing that we had a massive thunderstorm that just rolled through the Bay Area.
Yes. The last two nights.
Yeah.
Rained like hell last night.
Not in NPR.
No.
Nope, just skirted right by somehow. There was one little pocket.
Yeah. Here in the TPA, it just dumped on us.
No, we've gotten rain every day this week.
You know what I like about Newport Richey, where I live? I just the weirdness that there's a strip mall by me, and it's got a children's like clinic,
mm-hmm.
and right next to it is a tattoo parlor.
Hey, why not?
Drop off the kid and listen. You get checked up. I gotta get a little something touched up here. Gotta get a little ink real quick.
It's like, kids, I'll be at the tattoo shop if you need me. See you later. So that's Newport Richey for you. It's a special, special place.
It is.
Very special. There's nothing wrong with tattoo parlors.
Next to the kids' clinic?
Hey, you know, maybe they got a good deal on rent.
Well, I'm sure rent's cheap there.
You know, it's...
In that place.
Look, if there's an AA meeting there, it's cheap, okay?
If there's an AA meeting there,
if they got a meeting place.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. So if you see like an AA establishment.
Yeah, the rent's usually pretty cheap.
So, note to self.
There'd be more in Elfers.
Elfers, I think I've driven through Elfers.
Yes, and that's the best thing you can do.
Why? What's?
There's nothing. It's like a Dave Attell joke where he's like, you know, it's the best thing to do when you get to Toledo, Ohio, pack and get the fuck out.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you know he talked about horseshoes was invented before fun or something like that? What was that one he used to do?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a fun sport. You throw these around. Yeah, invented before fun.
Yeah, that's what there was before fun was invented or something like that.
Well, horseshoes. I think horseshoes are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pastime.
Sure.
It's kind of like the predecessor to
cornhole.
Cornhole, yeah.
Sure.
Cornhole's for pussies.
Dude, they had cornhole tournament on ESPN
the
other night.
That's strong, Jimmy Mike.
It is, you know, I mean... That you get hit by a beanbag in the ankle and you're drinking. Ooh, that hurts.
get hit by a horseshoe. That fucking hurts.
Jimmy, they had it on ESPN the other night. Cornhole tournament. It was like a real, yeah, like these guys
have
are cornholes.
Like sponsored shirts with like, you know, holy shit.
Not lying. Not lying at all.
Well, maybe I should get into that business.
Yeah.
The cornhole business.
Oh, no. Our battle bot that plays pickleball, we put another attachment on top of it, and it can fling the little baggie.
Absolutely. So it can be a cornhole battle bot.
Yes.
Ooh.
Pickleball.
So it does cornhole. Have some technicality. It has some technical ability.
Yeah, see, this battle bot's going to net us so much fame and money.
We're on our way.
We're going to have to call that battle bot the Clay Boney.
The Clay Boney.
Clay
yeah.
Boney. Well, you know, Clay Boney is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm not really versed in Clay Boney.
The tennis court,
Melissa. Oh, you have to go back to episode 26 for that one.
I looked it up. Okay.
Clay Boney was invented their pickleball and shot put ball, right? What was the other sport we invented? Shot put ball.
Yeah.
The Clay Boney would come out and fix it.
And
would come out and level the field again for
the
pickleball tournament.
So yeah. The old people don't break their ankles.
Oh shit!
You know, at work there was a car that had a pickleball decal on it. I think I've mentioned this, but if I haven't, I'm mentioning it now.
Were they driving a Prius?
No, it was a Cadillac.
Don't even say that. I cannot believe you just said that.
I love it.
Caddy.
Yeah.
There's a caddy. Had a National Pickleball Association decal.
Are you sure it wasn't a Deadhead sticker on the back of that Cadillac?
It wasn't.
Okay, just
checking. Yeah, I don't think he gets the reference.
No,
I do.
No,
I remember the song.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but sorry,
I
Big Mike.
I did have a customer that did have a Grateful Dead decal on his Cadillac.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, hey, that's cool. I like the Dead.
And he's like, no, I'm a Don Henley fan. You're like, huh?
Huh? What?
Can never look back.
Wow. All kinds of references to that song. That's very 80s.
Very timeless.
I'm not a big fan of the song. I know the song. I remember the song as a child.
Yeah, from 84.
Yeah. I was young folk.
Seven.
Oh, I like this Gabby Thomas. They're still doing a women's 400 meter.
Oh, yeah. She's a stud.
So let's talk about the Olympic trials.
Sure.
You know, we got.
We will probably see a world record in the shot put.
Who was the guy you were talking about? This was in the pre-show show.
I forget his name. I was just watching him last week. He was like over the weekend. I mean, he was throwing at almost the pit where they're doing the measurements.
It came like 2 feet from going out of the pit. This guy fucking whaled it. He threw that thing like a fucking Raggedy Ann doll. They were flying. He was going, Mama.
The record stood for like 20 years. And this guy's
I swear I heard it go, Mama, when it was flying through the air. Mama.
Yeah, I mean, the track and field should be pretty fun. The men's 1500, we got some really fast guys that are going to compete. You know, we got just women that are just bad to the bone in like every event.
So what's your assessment? So this Olympics, we should fare well.
Very well.
We should have some of the best track and field we've had all around between men and women together in
the last 20 years.
I don't. Well, it's been a while for the women. So I mean, when did FloJo run? I think that was their last really good.
Like 92.
Yeah.
Was probably her last one. I would say this is probably the best all around track team since then. You know, we've kind of heard on the distance. We have not really had many distance guys, but we got guys that can compete at the 5 and 10,000 meters. The real section.
Gabby Thomas is just walking away with this. She's going to run a 21.94 200 meter. That's good, right?
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, they were the women running the 100 meters, they were jogging at 11. Not even breathing heavy.
There were sub 10. There were some 10 and unders. Oh,
yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
11 and like 10, they, 9, when, 10, 8.
Yeah, when they when well, it was in the their semi or the early heats. You could tell they were holding back, which is a crazy thing to do in a sprint, but they're such trained athletes. They know, like, I'm running at 85% right now.
That's pretty awesome to be able to, you know, meter yourself like that.
Oh, look, they have telemetry on Gabby Thomas. She's running 22 miles an hour, 22.5.
There's some neighborhood she's going to get a ticket in.
That is a ticket. They'd get mad outside of Studio C if you're cruising at that speed.
And she finishes at 20 miles an hour. She'd get pulled over in the airport.
The guys that finished the semifinal in the 1500, the two guys, and one guy's the reigning NCAA champion, the other guy's the reigning gold medalist from the 2016 games, they were chatting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I just – that was right before this. I saw that. That's what I called when we did a pre-show.
Yeah, those guys are really good. And you could tell, I mean, they kind of pushed it, and then they just, like, last 100 yards, they're like, all right, we got this. Maybe a little jawing back and
forth. Yeah, nobody wants to get hurt during this.
No.
Got to get to the big show.
Absolutely.
So that's
yeah, I think we're going to see some world records.
What other trials will we see? You got to excuse me.
Swimming, diving's all done. You know, with the basketball, there's no, you know, they're pretty much picking guys. And there are some guys that was like, why are they picking them? Because they're hurt right now. Like James Harden. We do have a baseball team. Baseball's back. Baseball's an Olympic event again.
Fantastic.
Thank God. Push
for that. So, I think we got most of the team. Is that the shot put?
Or is that somebody trying to take a crap? Like,
I don't know. Might be Jimmy Mike trying to be comedian.
Trying to be Canadian. Is that what it sounds like?
Wait.
Sometimes it comes out.
That's not Big Ed?
No.
It is Big Ed.
No.
No, I'm not. That's Bush League with this whatever's going on back there.
Oh, Bush League, Jimmy Mike. Wow. Yeah, that's all confusing.
I didn't say it was Jimmy Mike. I said that whatever that is. Could be.
I misunderstood.
It was the red hand.
Leave my Bush beer alone.
I do like Bush beer.
It's good for the soul.
Oh, Bush League is nothing to do with Bush beer.
No?
Bush League, that's you know, that's minor league. It's B stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bush League.
Speaking of minor league, not minor league, how about the SRX series, Big Ed? I know we were chatting about that prior to
the show. I am really enjoying the competition. It's very – it's anyone's game.
Yes, and the fact that they're racing at – different types of racetracks. They raced on dirt this past Saturday at Knoxville. They're going to race on dirt again this Saturday at Eldora. And we've talked about this. The driver that impressed me, she comes from the NASCAR ranks, Haley Deegan. They said she went out there, made five laps. She ran at Nashville, flew in, ran five laps in an SRX car on the dirt, and then went into the race and ran second.
Nice.
Yeah, she's
Tony Francis Jr. for second.
She chatted with Tony Stewart, gave her a lot of good, you know, a lot of good pointers. I think he said to her, "Try to follow me around." That's all.
I think I think something like that was said.
Yeah.
You had Paul Tracy bouncing off the wall, like every restart.
Yeah, okay, it handles a little different there, bud.
Michael Waltrip, we talked about that, Big Ed. Michael Waltrip, they inverted the field on after one of the heat races. And Michael held his own, and Tony Stewart, I think the comment of the night was, if Michael Waltrip were to beat me on dirt, I'd have to see a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he gave him some kudos for running with him.
Absolutely.
After that. Yeah.
I think, you know, they're
Michael's never run on the dirt.
No, he's always been an asphalt guy.
Yeah. So there'll be an outdoor tomorrow night.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that. I will tape that. I have you know what else we got tomorrow? Speaking of, we got a good racing day. Racing day tomorrow and on Sunday. I have a extracurricular bowling activity I have to do tomorrow night. So I will be taping the SRX series. I'll be catching the end of the Cup series before going out tomorrow night, and right after getting home from work. They're up in Pocono running both Saturday and Sunday with the Cup cars like they did last year. So in the Cup event, the car you run Saturday, you run Sunday, and then they invert the top 12, if I'm not mistaken. Top 12 finishers will be inverted for the Sunday race.
Hmm.
So to add a twist to what's going on.
Big Mike, what kind of bowling? How's the bowling? How's that work? Like, what is it, for fun or is it for charity?
For fun. It's for fun. It's actually for a church group. A church group I'm with. And we're going bowling. We went bowling last month.
Big Ernie's going to be there.
And I suck. I suck. I'm hoping to bowl
better.
But
that's what's fun about it. Do you drink beer there?
Of course.
Well, then you're a winner.
Anytime there's beer, you're a winner.
Of course.
But, yeah, my bowling needs a little tune-up. So I'm hoping that...
Well, all right, so he's going with this church group, so he's going to be like, I just need more of that Jesus juice, you know?
My church group is like, hey, can we have another pitcher? Yeah, we're a little... Well, my group is a little looser than most. We're the beer drinkers. So
good. I mean, as long as someone's drinking. Bowling gets sponsored too, like that beanbag game.
Oh, bowling's big. I was watching bowling.
Tread lightly there, Jimmy Mike.
Beanbag game.
It's bowling.
Are they a sponsor?
I like bowling.
Those guys make a sponsor.
There's one of the guys is big from our area.
Yes,
he's from over near Brandon.
Well, his actual home court's the one that they or alley's the one that they closed.
Oh, is
41.
It?
Yeah.
That was his home alley.
So Jimmy, this guy, he's like 3 years ago, he was the PBA champion, the tour champ, right?
Okay.
He's also the only guy on the tour in a nationally televised event has bowled a perfect 100.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Wait. So going in the 10th frame, you know, he's got one ball to roll left, and he's at a 92, and he just picks up the ball, and he starts, like lifting it up over his head and, like, trying to get the crowd to go crazy.
Right. Oh,
and they start cheering him on. He knocks down 8 pins, gets 100, and he's running around high-fiving everyone.
Oh, that makes it interesting. He's like the Happy Gilmore of bowling.
Yeah. And then, I think 2 years later, he ended up winning the tour. And what the story was like, you know, it's all right, everyone, it's a bowling podcast. So some of these, they have oil patterns, and certain oil patterns he had a weakness for that he couldn't handle with his style of bowling. But he figured it out.
Right.
But that was a place he was not good at, but he made light of it and had fun with it.
There you go.
Great YouTube video on it. If I find it, maybe I'll put it on Twitter.
Put it on Twitter and so that we can enjoy it. Our bowling fans. So speaking of Twitter.
At Beer Seats.
I love that you get that right now. I don't have to correct you anymore.
Nope. No one's
correcting
me.
It only took you, what,
everyone.
Year and a half to get that?
No, it's 6 months. I think it's only six months. Okay. I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt. And then if they wanted to email us about bowling or SRX racing or NASCAR or hockey or the NBA, which I think we're going to transition to that next.
You can email us at the show at warmbeerandacheapseats.com.
That is awesome.
Or if you just want to learn how to tenderize some chicken breasts, that's anything. It doesn't have to be about that stuff.
You go to YouTube for that. We don't have a YouTube.
You go to YouTube for all that other stuff too. So what's the difference?
Hey, Big Ed, is that? Are you talking about your masturbation?
Under construction.
What are you talking about?
What? What's wrong with you, Jimmy Mike?
With your tenderizing your chicken. What are you talking about?
That could also be tenderizing your chicken could also be like a euphemism for masturbating, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought I was saying. I thought he was saying in code. Big
I'm
Ed.
Tenderizing
no, I don't even know. I don't. I
would actually meaning tenderizing.
I know that, but it's we know Big Ed enjoys, you know.
But, you know, Jimmy Mike's a little bit retarded, so you just have to excuse him sometimes.
He's like, well, then you put a little teriyaki on it, and then Jimmy is like,
it's
oh,
more like Forrest Gump.
Like lube, right? Like, no, like teriyaki sauce.
Lube. Pretty funny.
Oh, my God. Well, Lou, whatever the – as long as the meat tenderizing, chicken tenderizing is available on the
– Lou, I don't know what the fuck these guys talking about.
I'm retarded, remember?
how could I forget?
Whoa, easy with the R word.
We're
easy with the R word?
Yeah. All right. Hey, so I have an idea, though. We need a, like, a picture. And hear me out.
Okay.
Like, hear me out. No, a drawing.
Okay.
I think I know the person that could do this. That could be up for the task.
All right. What?
Yeah, I think I know, too.
Wait. Think of the Poco album cover.
Okay. Think of the Poco. The Poco, the original.
Original. And then think about the original people that started this podcast. And that one person's now a dog.
That is awesome.
Come on.
Who's going to do the picture? Because we need this. We can.
All right, baby, Di. Come on, this is you.
Di, you're committed.
Mama D. We have to send her a copy of the Poco album cover first. And then if she remembers the retrospect was the original bass player didn't go on tour with him. He left the band. So
he left.
They replaced the picture of him with that dog.
So good.
So I understand where Casey's going with. We don't have to start plugging names. It's not important, but it's just kind of funny.
We can
incorporate a couple of things that we've learned about this show.
I think we need this. I think
either being involved or listening to the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
This would be amazing.
Yes.
I'd hang this up in Studio C if there's a picture.
The Studio C. I'd hang it up in my house.
Upstairs, we're right now in Studio C. We're upstairs in the museum.
Yeah.
And that picture would hang. I would find a place to hang it up here. There's no doubt. Right over the bullhorns. I got bullhorns over
the
TV
here.
Hey,
is this the album called Picking Up the Pieces?
Picking Up the Pieces, that was Poker's first album. Great album.
So do you see the album cover, Jimmy and Mike?
I do. They're big Ed.
So you see the dog?
Yeah.
Okay, before the dog, there was the old bass player. He was in the picture.
They whited him out?
Yeah, they put the dog in his place.
Yeah, they did
kidding.
Like early photos.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't going to redo the whole damn album cover. What do we do? Put a fucking dog.
Well, they had to redo vocal tracks.
Wow.
They left his vocal tracks in for the album. On some, it's a mishmash, but yeah, they had to do a lot of stuff over because of this guy. He really, that's why they're like, fuck him. And anyway, and the guy that replaced him, oh fuck, I think was replaced by Timothy Schmidt,
who ended up
in the Eagles. Who the guy that left Poco for the Eagles was one of the founding members of the original Eagles.
Which I think the Eagles are overrated myself, but that's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. They're just it's weird. I like anything with Joe Walsh in it. They did great. When Joe Walsh came in the band, he's the one that put him into the next level. Joe Walsh was Hotel California, okay?
Even that. Again, Eagles overrated, but that's
yeah.
That, but, that would be, that's
I think you like the Eagles before Joe Walsh. That's what you like. It's very polka-ish.
The early Eagles are okay because that's more pure country rock. But
But that's what they were. They were polka, okay?
And then
there were some lineup changes, and then by the time it evolved with Joe Walsh, it got it to a more rocking.
They're Linda Ronstadt's touring band.
They were a really good touring band.
I think the story is that she told Don Henley, like, it's time for you to do your own thing now. She, like, pushed him out. She's like, you got to do it now.
I think I'm going to play some Linda Ronstadt tonight. I think I'm going to Linda Ronstadt move. Mm-mm. Mood. No.
BTO.
You brought the...
We're spinning some BTO tonight.
Big Ed gifted some albums to Casey.
I think you should start with Four-Wheel Drive.
There you go. That's a good one.
We'll be putting it on the
Big
Mike Vintage.
Yep, we're going to get that hi-fi
machine.
Just cranked real loud.
Yep.
Wolfman Jack here.
Yeah.
So there's that dog in Poco.
Bow, wow, wow.
You know what? That was somebody's dog in a band, and I got to look at my old notes to find out what the significance of the dog was. So it was somebody's dog. It was in the studio.
Who's outside?
Jimmy Mike.
Okay.
I'm in the jungle. Nature trail.
How you know
he's in his wife's plant garden.
Oh,
sorry, burrito.
Wow, you got good.
I got pretty good ears, considering I don't even have headphones on. So it's probably.
Oh, I could hear. I could hear him.
I'm in the jungle of Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of birds where you're at.
Don't let them shit on your head.
You hear the monkeys?
Yeah.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Davy Jones.
I was a Mike Nesmith fan myself, but, you know, again. Anyway, hey, so let's get back to sports real quick.
Yeah.
We're talking about the NBA before the show and the expansion, and then the Harlem Globetrotters came up.
Yes.
What?
So, let's talk about this.
All right, so I was just reading a story, and I thought it was pretty interesting. So Adam Silver, who's been the NBA commissioner, has mentioned that they, you know, what they want to look at expansion, and you know, everyone's saying Seattle, you know, Nashville's now a town that's going to get mentioned. You know, they want to try to expand into Canada. Well, the Harlem Globetrotters kind of reached out, and.
Well, I hear
you know,
the birds,
they put
by
out
way.
A statement, you know, and to the NBA. It says, don't get us wrong. We love what you all done recently. We are proud of how your players are standing up to make a difference in their communities. But don't get it twisted. Basketball would not be what it is today without us. To remind people, Harlem Globetrotters won their first World Basketball Championship in 1940. In 1948 and 49, they twice defeated the world champion Minneapolis Lakers. They've toured all over the world. People like Wilt Chamberlain got their start in professional basketball with the Harlem Globetrotters. They consistently recruit world-class talent. NBA, right or wrong, bring the Harlem Globetrotters into the NBA.
I think that's a great idea.
I was telling Casey before the show,
absolutely.
I'm not a big basketball fan. But if the Globetrotters became an NBA team, I'd have to become a basketball fan.
Oh, I'd get
that could become America's team.
Yeah, we get a curly.
Yeah, yeah. Throwback, dude. I mean, you had guys that were on, like, U.S. Olympic team. They'd go on to play with the Globetrotters.
They're an all-star team.
An all-star team that led to integration of African-Americans into NBA.
Which is huge. Huge.
Absolutely.
Because you were sharing.
Right or wrong, let them in.
I agree. You were sharing earlier with some NBA history that the owners, what would you say it was, prior to the 50s, they didn't want to have African-Americans in the league.
So that, you know, and that was the idea. It was like, well, we're going to form our own team and
We're going to barnstorm and we're going to show.
And you come whoop your ass.
We'll beat your ass all over the globe. And that's what they did.
And they ended up with their own damn cartoon show, which I think is amazing. And yeah, it was an amazing cartoon. It was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
It was.
And they had a dog.
And also they were in a Scooby-Doo.
They were in a Scooby-Doo. When they, you know, they were in a celebrity Scooby-Doo, and Phyllis Diller was in a celebrity Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, Sonny and Cher. Yeah, you're right. There's
I know. Yeah, yeah, of course I'm right.
They had some good company in the
Scooby-Doos. Big spaghetti.
Well, Jimmy, I saw it when it was on the air the first time.
Which was a few years ago.
Of course.
I watched it in rerun.
Yeah, it was on a million times after that. Saturday morning cartoons.
It's still on a million times. So, Casey, let me ask you this. What do you think the possibility or the reality of the Globetrotters getting into the NBA? Do you think the NBA is...
I don't think they're that as woke as people would think when it comes to being socially conscious. Unless there was a lot of money involved. They're going to expand to Seattle, and I don't know where they'd go after that.
You mentioned Canada.
Yeah,
where,
you know,
would they go into Toronto?
Well, they're in Toronto now. You know, they had been in Vancouver in the past. They wanted to be as global as possible. I think if...
North American, not very global.
Nothing that a couple of riots in Harlem couldn't change things.
Recruit players from all
over.
The world.
Absolutely, they do.
But having it in Canada, and then, I think if Mexico did not have certain internal issues,
like drug cartels,
that would involve player safety, I think Mexico, and, you know, truth be told, I think Puerto Rico would be a great site. That is a basketball-crazed island. Cuba is the baseball.
Yes.
Basketball is to Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
What are their chances of becoming a state?
Basketball thing will happen before the state.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. You know, they put too many obstacles. I'm for it because I'm like, why not? The more the merrier.
Hey, they're part of the U.S. already.
Yeah, you know,
they're
maybe,
already American
maybe,
citizens.
Maybe you can fix the infrastructure there. Finally,
the infrastructure's pretty crappy down there.
Yeah, it's, you know, while they don't have people that look out for the
business. Yeah, but they've been living on the tit a long time, so maybe it's time.
Yeah, sort of. No, a couple people have. Most of the island doesn't get that tit, you know.
I didn't say it was a big tit.
It's just big enough for whoever's their governor. And the governor's friends. Everyone else is big.
SOL.
Yeah. You know, they're just as corrupt as any other banana republic.
Hey, there's more Puerto Ricans that live in the United States than there are that live in Puerto Rico.
No. This is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they can just, hey, fuck this place. We're going to the States.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Bitches.
So NBA down there, huh? That would be cool and very feasible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's...
Just a little puddle jumper away.
Yeah. We're not talking about anything major.
I mean, imagine the rivalry you can create with, like, Miami or Orlando. You know? And those are pretty quick trips.
I could see that.
Or even New York.
Yeah. Absolutely New York. Because great, a lot of Puerto Rican Americans up there. And
yeah, they even have a parade now.
They do?
Yeah, Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Yeah?
Yep. Celebrate their heritage in New York.
I traveled there in that one. That was, never do that one again. It was a mistake. The city is like, the city is gridlocked for the day.
Soapbox on the NBA, in my take on that.
Well, I appreciate that soapbox on the NBA. So, you know, speaking, you mentioned New York, which brings up another subject that we've covered in great detail on our show.
Oh.
The Subway tuna fish.
Yeah, New York Times is doing their own independent study about the tuna at Subway. Now, and this ties into a bigger story that's been going on, that this oceanic agency was saying that, you know, half the fish out there is mislabeled, which is more of a problem Asian, but it happens here in the States. You know, those scallops
are grouper cheeks
or cheeks of something else. They're not scallops.
I love scallops. I've eaten scallops.
Well, do you like scallops or do you like whatever that
whatever
is
the thing's cheeks? And now is it the butt cheeks or the cheek cheeks? I don't think they have butt cheeks.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold the image of a fish with a butt, you know.
But I had to say it. I know
you got
fish
like a whale that's like twerking.
Twerking.
Casey, didn't you bring this story up?
And it's funny you say that. In the last is that the clock that I heard? That is big.
Yeah.
Clock.
Well, that's because we're quarter till.
Oh, okay.
It's just.
Letting us know. That's our timer.
We're 15 till to the big finale.
Yeah, because then that'll do it again, and then it'll play the it'll chime. Every 15 minutes, it adds one verse to it. So you don't notice it at like quarter after the hour sometimes because it's just a quick bing.
Yeah, Subway, you know, still hasn't finished that lawsuit in California, you know, the one that mentions their tuna's bereft of tuna.
Well,
you know, just, I don't know. Subway's just got a PR nightmare. And then Tony Hawk's in there skateboarding around.
And they got the tuna sandwich
in the commercial.
In the commercial.
Just rub it in everyone's face. They're trolling everyone.
I love the tuna. Still love the Subway tuna. Just saying.
I got to give it to Tony Hawk. They still skateboard, and he's like 65 years old.
He's not that old. He's in his 50s.
That's ancient for a skateboard.
Okay, we're going to look this up while we're chit-chatting.
I'd be surprised if Tony Hawk was in his 50s or just turned 50.
Yeah, I think he just turned.
He's either
Tony
50 or 49.
Hawk.
I think he's over 50.
Oh, here we go.
What's the over-under on 50?
53. Nice.
And his
Jimmy Mike takes the big payday.
Frank Hawk is his given.
He gets a big old pat in the back. Good job, buddy.
And you get a Subway.
That's an elbow.
Yeah, it's an elbow.
I like my Subway tuna with lettuce, black olives, pickles, salt and pepper. We're good.
That sounds disgusting. I like my Subway tuna thrown directly.
Why? Disgusting. Why just give it to me? I'll eat it.
No. If I'm going to do tuna, I'll just make it at home.
Yeah, thank you. That's my exact...
I made chicken salad
today at it with turkey meat.
So you're threatening them? The New York Times, they're going to investigate you, Big Ed.
Yeah, you
gotta turkey
watch it.
Meat.
You gotta watch it.
I just told you that, so I'm not hiding it.
So it's the big.
It just doesn't sound right if you say I made turkey salad.
Now you could call it chicken salad featuring turkey. Maybe I don't know. You know, like a rap song.
Like a rap.
Would it
be feature spelled all the way out? It would be fet.
Yeah.
Chicken salad. Fet.
Snoop Dogg.
No. Turkey.
Oh.
Turkey.
Yeah, don't cook the Snoop Dogg.
No, cook the turkey. I do like turkey.
So turkey with the chicken salad.
Yes.
Now, Big Ed, is it? Are you taking freshly roasted turkey, or is it? Are you getting your turkey at the deli counter?
It was a Boar's Head mesquite turkey I used. I just had a taste for a chicken salad, so I just took and just diced it up with a little bit of onion, salt, pepper, and mayo.
Wait, you're talking about deli meat turkey that's sliced?
Yes.
Well, it is real turkey, Case. Boar's Head, you know.
It was Boar's Head.
Yeah, so you got to get that though, sliced thick, though, right? Look,
I didn't ask you to come over and have any, so don't worry about it.
Wow.
But it was delicious.
You know, look. If you want to do a cooking segment on the YouTube channel that's under construction, I just want to make sure the product looks good. I don't need Bobby Flay like kicking down the door like, I challenge you to a turkey sandwich. You know?
That's not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to exert myself. I'm not kicking nothing down. I'm not running at anything. I'm mostly going to stand or sit. That's going to be about as much action as you're going to get from me.
You know, that'd be the way I think to beat Bobby Flay. Like, if you just have that, like, I don't really care anyways. Like, I think that would infuriate him more.
Yeah. Yes. Bobby Flay, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that competition I did in Maine when everyone brought, like, this entourage of people. It was just me and this other woman, and we kicked their ass. And we were like, you know, you just got to look chill.
It's confident.
Okay.
And you know what? When he won, he actually cooked them a crayfish. Crazy.
Who?
A really big crayfish.
Lobster?
Yeah.
Or was it crayfish?
No, it was lobster.
It was lobster. Believe me, I picked and cleaned the meat for about 3 hours. I get sick of lobster, if you can imagine it, for a little while. I ate so much lobster in them 2 days. I was like, ugh.
It's pretty delicious.
Yeah, it is. But I ate so much that it took me a while to eat it again.
Well, imagine spending 6 weeks in India, and then imagine my feeling towards curry.
How was the curry in India?
Good, but every day for 3 meals a day for 6 weeks.
Like three breakfast too? What, do they put it in the fucking egg?
They just let it roll, dude. I'm telling you.
That's like the Koreans in kimchi, you know, that whole spice thing they use on every fucking meal.
Yep.
I mean, your intestines are like fucking cast iron, you know? I mean, you have a big callus on your asshole from getting so much fucking pepper flowing through it.
Have a gigantic ulcer.
Yeah, something.
One or the other. Calloused asshole or ulcer.
Your choice.
Neither sound good.
Choice.
I don't know. They live a long fucking time. They're doing something right.
Calloused assholes.
Don't seem to bother them.
Yeah. I'd take a calloused asshole any day.
Yeah. They're like, don't be such a hard ass. I can't help it. Just...
Now we're running.
Believe me, it's the diet. It's the diet. Yeah. Don't be such a hard ass. They're like, you don't know my diet.
You haven't seen.
Yeah, you have not seen me shit. Then shut up.
Oh God. Oh boy.
It's like someone says, you haven't walked in my shoes. You haven't shit for my ass. All right, so shut up.
I wouldn't want to shit from anybody else's ass. That's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
Shoes are one thing. Ass is another.
You're like, hey, look, maybe my asshole is calloused, but you don't know what it's seen.
That's right.
I just checked my...
Yeah,
it's just checked yours? Good thing, Jimmy Mike.
It's got PTSD. That's like, you know...
That's code for checking his drawers.
He checked his six.
It's just like...
And when we say six, we mean his asshole.
Yeah. You got my six?
Wow.
Ooh.
So, let's move on to a more family-friendly activity here. How about the Rocketeer?
Turning 30 this week.
I don't know what that means or why that's exciting, but cool.
Well, you know what? If you were a certain age, it was a cool movie. You know, you're even too old to care. However, when it debuted against City Slickers, which Big Ed, remember that one?
Big Ed, yeah, took Big Lil Casey.
That's right. It also went against, I just said the other movie. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was already in the theaters, which was like the other big movie that summer. So it kind of, you know, it's like burying the lead. And it was a, like, art deco, like, this comic book adventure movie in the style of, like, an Indiana Jones. And it had backing by Disney, so there was real money put into it. It just never caught off. But, I remember as a kid watching it, It was a pretty fun movie. No, no. Sweet Melissa had a question. No, it didn't catch on, and they were hoping that it would be something they would make sequels on, and it never did. But, yeah, fun movie.
Cool movie. Like you, I also really like the aesthetics.
I saw that in the theater with you.
Yep.
Danny, Mr. Mortensen.
Yeah, Danny Boy. I remember that, and it was took place right before World War II, so we did have some Nazi.
Yes, which was a good theme. Like, who doesn't like taking down the Nazis?
It's kind of like Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
Just prior to World War II, got the Nazis. You got to kick their ass in this film somehow, some way. So.
And he's flying in a jetpack.
Jetpack that they stole. It was stolen from Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
He was not yet locked up in his penthouse
in
apartment.
Vegas.
That. Right. Prior to his super cuckoo-ness, he was just semi-cuckoo at this point.
Yes. Great movie. So,
great movie. Good movie. They tried to make a TV series of it. Did we mention that?
Yeah, I remember that didn't work out well.
Didn't work out well.
No.
I think it was too... I was looking it up. It was in 2019. So... I think too much time had passed from the film to adapting it to television. Had it gone from film to television, I think there would have been...
There could have been something there.
Yeah, something. I thought it was called the movie of the week. No? Okay.
No, I thought that... I'm sorry, I thought it was wrong.
Somebody give that lady a ball of yarn.
Got it.
She's got a ball of yarn, Big Ed. Make it. She's crocheting.
Still yapping away.
Don't talk back. Wow. Wow is all I have to say to that. So, Rocketeer. So maybe that could be the film. For our fans to watch this week.
Yeah.
Kind of a retrospective of.
You know, if you're not into, because you know what? I hear people talking about shows, and sometimes I'm like, I'm still trying to finish Lost. Who's got time to binge watch all these TV shows? Who are these folks?
They don't have jobs.
What's the deal with these folks binging the TV shows?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, I don't get it.
I'm lucky I get, like, maybe a half hour a night TV.
Me
maybe
too.
Maybe an hour.
Well, there's too much sports for me, and that's the problem.
You don't have time for network
television. I mean, all right, congratulations, Canadiens. You're going to get to lose the cup this year. Great. Canadiens clinch. They're going to the Stanley Cup for the first time since 1993. Perhaps. Oh, boy. Right now, we're in the intermission. Islanders, Lightning, nil. No score.
So while we're in this intermission, why don't we just lead right into...
Wait, real quick.
Wait. See if I can pull it up.
Tampa Bay Rays, Juan DeFranco, the number one prospect in minor league for the last 2 years, made his debut, first game, drew a walk, and had a home run.
Jeez.
Okay.
Do you know who told me that?
Told you what?
That information. Who?
The Subway
Slam.
Yes,
that's right. The Subway Slam was spotted in New York, probably scared.
He's alluded
to
our show.
About the ultra-masculine gentleman.
Taking him out. I think we need to line up a wrestling persona to come on the next show, next week's show.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's definitely coming back because, you know, for our fans, we will be at SmackDown in Tampa August 6th.
Yep.
One beer and cheap seats.
We'll be there, and we're going to have
signs. On the floor, the signs. Spot us if you can. Send pictures. It's going to be a great time.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going
to
call it Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats Invasion.
Warm Beer and Cheap Seats Invasion. You'll have Casey, Big Ed, and Big Mike.
And Sweet Melissa.
And Sweet Melissa. The whole show's going to be there.
It's going to be like when the NWO just starts leaking in slowly.
Everyone except the dog will be there.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Correct.
So, should we lead into the... We need some bumper music. Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
All right, thank you, guys. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I have to say, about the sex.
You're not going to start crying, are you?
Why? Because she said my name? Could you be quiet for about 10 minutes, please?
Just 10.
10. That's all. 10. So this week, I chose Faith No More's King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime. I've been a big fan of Faith No More since their second album, their first album with Mike Patton. This is the fifth studio album to San Francisco-based group, released in March of 95 by Slash Records, which later was bought out by Warner Records. It was their first album recorded without longtime guitarist Jim Martin. So you'll see it, hear a different sound. The album showcased a variety of the band's usual heavy metal leanings with some funk and some rap. Some of these critics called it a genre shuffle change. The album did bring three singles, Dig in the Grave, Ricochet, and Evidence. Evidence being one of my favorites. It's a really nice, smooth acoustic with a nice bass riff just floating along. It did really well. I mean, it was number 31 on the U.S. Billboard 200. U.K. charts, it was number 5. In Australia, it was number 2. Netherlands and that whole region, Sweden, Norway, Finland, it bounced between number 2 and number 5. So I would say this is pretty much a success. Not quite, I think, as explosive as Angel Dust, but this was, you know, there was a big change in this one because there was a new guitarist, Trey Spruance. He came from Mr. Bungle, which was Mike Patton's other band, so you can hear some of the manic changes in the music because he was involved in the songwriting on this album. So it's got 12 tracks. It's an hour long, so it's a good listen, but it's plenty. I don't think there's a dead track on here. This is another one that is the placement of the music is just right because I like a flow, and I think everyone on the show, we've talked about this many times when something doesn't flow, you know, like Van Halen 2. So it starts with Get Out, Ricochet, Evidence, The Gentle Art of Making Enemies. When there are 14 tracks, and I think the ones I sent out for you guys to listen was a 20-year release or something because it's got some singles that made Soul Invictus, or they were B-sides to Dig in the Grave and King for a Day or something like that. Or they've got the Spanish version and a Portuguese version of you know, you've heard it, right, Case?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like when he tours in South America, he changes the songs to either Spanish or Portuguese.
Yeah, he's quite the talent. This Mike Patton, I'll tell you, he is like the Mariah Carey of men. He's got an octave range that I've never heard before, you know. I think he's a great singer. I think if he wanted to be a crooner, he could, you know. He could sing like Sinatra-type music. He would have no problem. He's just smooth and sultry at times. And other times he's very rough and aggressive and brash. And he just knows how to interject. I think he's just a talent. He does, and Casey knows, he does so many other things too.
Absolutely.
He's got other projects. It's
Keeping Tom.
Sure. Yeah, Mr. Bungle, which one of my favorites. I think there's a Mr. Bungle story for one of Big Ed's adventures one day. That's a very big part of the adventure was Mr. Bungle. So, you know, you have longtime drummer Mike Borden on there and keyboardist Roddy Bottom and Billy Gold, you know, but the only guy, there was a guitar change. So a big difference on how things wound up. But I think for the tuned ear, you'd really have to hear it. I didn't know that this guitarist was from Mr. Bungle, but now that I listened to it, I could hear what he brought to the table. So this is, to me, maybe I'll say one of their best albums, but then I got to think about where I was in the time when I had this heavily in a rotation. Because Angel Dust is no slouch and neither is album of the year. So this album actually is a little more schizophrenic. It's like a crazed pinball jumping frantically from one mood to another. That's probably due to the departure of Jim Martin, a.k.a. Big Jim, to Patton's Mr. Bungle band, Nate Traits Ruins. You get some spastic sounds and hardcore sounds from songs like Get Out and The Gentle Art of Making Enemies to soul food ballads like Heartbreaking Gospel, Flavored Closer, Just a Man, Take This Bottle, and Evidence. So Mr. Bungle guitarist Trace Fruins joins the band to help other previous efforts. And I think the previous efforts were just as good. So I don't really understand that. I read that from one of the critics. I'm like, two different guitars brought a lot to the table and made the sound better. This is just an absolutely stunning record. It shows the band's ingenuity, the versatility, and their way to, if they even have like a little mainstream prowess to them, they could have really popped this out, made it more pop. And I don't want to say listener friendly, but I would say radio friendly. In my eyes, this has some unmatched technical prowess. Patton is usually shining, delivering seemingly effortlessly, either metal, growling, or trademark clear, just baritone, like in Evidence or Take This Bottle. The album has an emotional connection for me and was a pivotal to me getting into aviation and making the big career change in my life in the late 90s. I've always had an emotional connection to Faith No More, so I cannot say if this was better or not so much better album than say, Angel Dust or The Real Thing or Album of the Year. King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime is a great collection of music from heavy metal to rap, smooth funk, and soft acoustic riffs with varied manic lyrics of love, hate, and any which way else you want to interpret the music. So I'll say this is a very anecdotal album that would be compliment anyone's music collection. And I'll finish with that.
Nice. Where would you rank this?
You know, it seems the stuff I'm picking out is always somewhere in the three range, and this is definitely it's a 3+ to 3.2. You know, I heavily favor this too, so sometimes I can't be biased.
This was a very different album in the sense of just, it's got 14 songs, which you don't get like a hard rock band that does that a lot. Especially coming from, you know, Angel Dust. I love this album so
yeah.
much. When this came out, I listened to it constantly. And I think earlier on, and it was the first single actually, I believe, was Digging a Grave, was my favorite song, and I put it on like a little headset, and I had it that would play because I'd go running and it was like the greatest song to go run to.
Yeah, it's a really upbeat with a good tempo that'll kind of get you
moving. Yeah, it'll get you staying up tempo for sure. I would say now listening back at I think Ricochet is my favorite song on that album.
I like Evidence. I just like that smooth guitar riff, you know, the acoustic sound with the bass line.
Yeah, well, you know, Evidence just is another song, too, that just kind of shows their range.
Yeah.
Performers, what they can create. And, you know, I'm sure, like, for studios, they didn't know what to do with Faith No More. and the Lightning are on the board. But going back,
Well, that's kind of like the song "Edge of the World" from the Real Thing. You know, back to another ballad. That was really nice.
Yeah. Well, some of the slower songs have been, honestly, some of my favorite songs. There's one on Angel Dust. Now I'm going to forget the name of it because we're talking about it. But, they're just a fun band. And, you know, in the radio landscape that they want to put everyone in a box, you don't know what to do with them. And, you know, I don't think that's Faith No More's fault. I think that's just
no, not at all. They're a unique band.
That was the system was broken in that sense.
Well, okay. So when I did I did a lot of reading about this era, and a lot of these bands from Seattle, that whole grunge thing, every band was imploding in its own way, from Pearl Jam to you know, Kurt Cobain had just passed. That was the other thing. And the guitarist knew Kurt Cobain, and his wife knew him even better. So there's some people in that circle that really took it hard. So a lot of the landscape of music was shifting again. And this kind of filled it. I don't know if there was a void, but it just kind of fit right in what was going on at that time.
Yeah. No. I mean, there are times where that album is manic, for sure. And I think
definitely manic. I think they bring in the guitarist from Mr. Bungle, you know, because if you don't think that's manic behavior, the changes in the tempo, you know, from ska funk metal to rap. I mean, you know, so I think you heard a little bit of that in this album that you didn't hear in the prior stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't think there were a band that was necessarily out there seeking fame. You know, I think they would have enjoyed a little bit more commercial success considering the blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, they definitely put in the work. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when they changed labels, and I guess to Warner Brothers' credit, they let them make Album of the Year in a sense. But I can't tell you I guarantee there was not one guy at Warner Brothers happy about that album. Because there's absolutely no press. They got buried, you know.
I don't think anyone could name one song from Album of the Year.
And it's one of the best albums.
Yeah, I mean, Strip Search, I mean, right there. Or Collision, right off the bat, you know.
Oh, Collision, absolutely.
That might have to... I can't do it next week. No, I have been compiling a list.
Later on. But, I mean, that just showed you... shame on a studio that doesn't know how to... showcase a band of that kind of talent. That's, you know, shame on them. But it just goes to show you there was a difference with the label going from they actually had support for King for a Day.
You can't let suits decide music. You know, this, I mean,
no, but
just,
I mean, I remember
the whole industry was always been like that.
Staying up late watching when MTV used to do music, and they had Headbangers Ball, but they had another late night show for like in rock was 120 minutes.
Yeah, it was more like an alternative rock.
Yes, and I remember watching the night they premiered Evidence, and that was like for me like such a big deal. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna stay up and I'm gonna watch this, you know. And you know, that I think that was like the last time they really got like studio love, but that was different label. What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
Does she know about this Faith No More?
She knows more the radio-friendly songs, like the stuff that get played, you know, off, you know, like.
But I've heard other songs.
Falling to Pieces.
Yeah, that stuff.
Because really, other than that, there really hasn't been a whole lot of airplay. I mean, I think there was a song they used to play from this album on the radio, and I think let me scroll down. Let's know when I see it. Maybe Dig in the Grave. Yeah, Dig in the Grave was the song.
Yeah,
that was the one I've only heard on the radio from this album. This has been a long time.
The only one, unless there was like a College Station that did something else. But yeah, Digging the Grave.
Yeah, there were three singles, and some of these songs on here are the B-sides. I didn't even know they did B-sides in the 90s because there were no 45s, so I don't know how they would. Maybe they just sent it out to the radio as a pair, you know?
Yeah, probably they were still doing like CDs like that with one or two songs, or maybe they would have something else on it, like a live version of something. Because really that cassette single thing was kind of on the way out. However, it might have still been there because it was the 90s. So, because I remember that was a thing to see in a record store.
The cassette single, I remember
that. They would have that bin to the side where you just can search for singles. So, well, good review. That kind of brought back a lot of memories listening to that album. So.
Speaking of albums,
yeah,
how's our friends at the Waffle House doing?
Oh, well, you know what? It's been down, so I haven't even checked. So, the jukebox, whatever, have you call it, shenanigans, has been on hiatus.
That's a shame, too.
Yeah, I figured to give it a couple weeks and then
pounce on them.
Yeah, you gotta, when they least expect it.
Well, we go to wrestling. We need to go to a place that has one of these jukeboxes and just sit there and play some real crazy shit for them. Stack them up so when we leave, it'll be like that for the next like 8 hours, you know?
Yeah.
We just need to go to a Waffle
House. Or put something on the loop, you know?
I'm sure we can find a Waffle House on the way back from wrestling.
Yes.
There's always a Waffle House.
Yeah.
Within shouting distance down here.
There's one right off of Dale Mabry up there by 275 somewhere, right?
I think so, yeah. Should be.
No, there's one right there in like Hillsborough and Anderson or something like that.
Yes.
Let's put that on our agenda, our wrestling agenda.
Yeah. Get a meal, and then, you know, that show is going to be a late night show, but
it'll be a late night show reviewing we'll review the matches.
Yes.
All the fun that we've had.
Yes. And then see if anyone spot us.
That'd be awesome. We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Definitely something to look
forward to.
That's
still like a month away, though.
That is. So we have a little anticipation leading up to that.
Yeah. So.
So if any of our fans are planning to go, let us know.
I already got my shirt.
Did you get your shirt?
I got my
shirt.
Is
it the one you were wearing the other day?
No.
Do you have a special shirt?
I have a special shirt.
Are you going to let on to the special shirt, or are you just going to like wear it night of the event and be like, bam!
I think I want to wait till the night of the show and then, you know,
but
the
I
reveal.
Say, it's so good.
It's so good?
Yeah.
So good. Wow. Is it an eBay find?
No. It's a real deal.
It's a real deal. Oh, well, of course it's a real deal.
It's from the WWE shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah. All right. Well, we have something to look forward to. And
I mean, the other would have been like to go old punk rock and just get a white T-shirt and with black marker and then write something on it.
You could do that, but then people are going to look at you like, look at this schmuck.
Yeah, like Subway Slam, sissy.
Well, we got to come up with a Subway Slam type of logo or something.
You can make a T-shirt. We could go to, like, Cafe Press.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, leave your shirt.
It's a good idea.
Good idea.
Does the Subway Slam know we're attending a match?
No, but I don't think that's going to... Well, we'll go over that later.
We'll
go
over it later? Okay.
I don't think he knows we're going to be there.
We're going to ambush him on TV.
That's right. I get a folding chair with his name on it.
Take this, Subway Slam.
That's right. Well, anything else to add there? Anyone?
I think I've used up all my good for the night.
Jimmy Big Mike? Ed?
Well, I haven't had an update on your Mopar product.
Oh, well, on my Chrysler.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Working on getting it running properly. Now, this is a car that's been sitting for, as I can tell, at least a year with minimal driving. So
that could be a problem.
That's problematic. So I have some parts ordered. I did put a set of plugs in it, cap and rotor. I have carburetor issues, not major carburetor issues, but an issue with the thermostatic bimetal choke. So I have that. Here's the thing. Aftermarket parts suck. So this thermostat, choke thermostat, I went to the auto parts store, got the part, and it didn't fit.
And what?
It didn't fit. Aftermarket. And it's okay, so this is what they call a divorced choke thermostat. It's mounted on the intake manifold. There's a bimetallic spring that is also... It uses the heat off the intake manifold, as well as has an electrical lead that also heats the spring to open the carburetor's choke at a predictable rate. Well, the one on my car is probably, it's not the original one, but it's probably been on there 15, 20 years. So it's time to dump it and get a new choke thermostat.
And that is inside the carburetor?
No, outside the carburetor. It's mounted on the intake manifold.
Okay, you did say that.
There's a
right next to the flux capacitor.
No, that's...
If you can imagine it.
The flux capacitor's inside the car.
Oh.
So, yeah. And there's a rod that
even
goes
Doc Brown knows that.
From this thermostat up to the choke.
And that's right next to the commuter valve, right?
Right next to it.
Okay.
So...
Carefully, you don't get your willy caught in it.
I don't want to get your willy caught in anything like that, because then it could get hurt and damaged.
Thank you for the advice,
Lou.
I'll be careful.
Big Ed.
All you have left is a calloused asshole.
Or a calloused dickhole. So anyway, I was able to find on eBay, the carburetor on my car is a Holley 2 barrel, 6280. I was able to find on eBay an original equipment Mopar choke thermostat, which I ordered this week. Got a set of good plug wires coming, because you know what? The auto parts stores, you can't get good parts anymore. It's all like, they're all competing for the bottom of the barrel. Like cheap parts. I want good quality parts. So guess what? Rock Auto?
Oh, there's that free plug.
The free plug. Rock Auto. Listen, Big Mike, hey, it's Big Mike plugging you on Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. I use your website. I've ordered the window motor gear for my Chrysler, plug wires for my Chrysler, all coming from you, Rock Auto. I will be a great spokesperson. Anyway, got a set of plug wires coming. I think I'll have this thing ironed out in about a week.
Nice.
Where it's running and driving right. Get the AC charged. I got to buy a set of tires. The tires on it are from 2012. 9-year-old tires.
Are they dry rotted?
Like, they're not dry rotted, but they ride like total dog shit. They are definitely flat spotted from sitting in the garage for the last forever. Because this car has done more sitting than driving in the last 10 years of its life. So,
hey, you know the saying, if I ain't shitting, I'm sitting.
I'm sitting. That's what this car was doing.
That's so, a saying? If I'm not shitting, I'm sitting.
We can put that on.
That can be some of our merch.
Yeah, bumper stickers.
Yeah, so Joe Dirt made a fortune on Life's a Garden, Just Dig It. So why not if you're not shitting, you're sitting or something, whatever.
And then a nicer way of saying callous asshole that we can put it out to the general public, I'd say bitter butthole.
Bitter butthole? That could be a drink, the bitter butthole. I'll have one bitter butthole, please.
Yep. Line them up. line up the bar with some bitter buttholes.
How many bitter buttholes? I need
well,
four.
You gotta put bitters in that too.
I need four bitter buttholes, please. Where'd you find out about this drink? Warm beer in the cheap seats. That is the official drink of the warm beer in the cheap seats. The bitter butthole.
The bitter butthole. I'm gonna have to work on the recipe later.
We will. Yeah.
Well, I ate the Holly Two Barrel.
Oh, that's definitely stripper.
If I ever had a dog, I'd name my dog Holly. And spell it like carburetors. H-O-L-L-E-Y. Yes.
We know a dog named Holly Bear, and so Holly Two Barrel.
If I had a cat, I'd name my cat Holly, too. After carburetors.
Yeah, you give it something a little bit more regal. Like, you give it a lame title.
Oh, like Sir Holly? Or...
Or Dame Holly.
Dame Holly, or
of Lexington, or something like that, you know.
Of Duchess Holly of Studio C.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I am half English, so I might have some like royal blood in me, you know.
Yeah, I see you being Cornish.
Cornish.
Yeah.
Like a Cornish hen.
It's Southern England.
Yeah. I don't know where my family is from in England.
Seafaring.
Seafaring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They like the saying. Sea shanties. It's a thing.
I know it's a thing. That's why I'm laughing. I've heard of sea shanties. That's like a tongue twister. Along with a bitter butthole. I'll have Could I have one sea shanty and a bitter butthole, please? A bitter butthole.
There's been worse named
drinks. There have been worse named drinks. Buttery nipple, bitter butthole. Anyway, do we have any more?
No, yeah, but I'm not going to say it right now.
There you go.
Plenty of drinks I can name that should probably not be on the air.
Probably smart. Wise move. Wise move to get.
I don't want to upset the retard. Oh, wait. No R word. Where's Jimmy Mike? It's my best friend.
Jimmy Mike bailed.
He dipped out. He got sensitive when you told him he got to be quiet for 10 minutes.
Jimmy Mike, he might not call in next week because of that big end.
But good calling. Good calling.
It was a good calling.
It's always a good calling with Jimmy Mike.
Any calling is a good calling on our show.
You just can't talk during the rock and roll retrospect.
No, it's Big Ed's time.
Cardinal sin.
He's trying to knock me down a peg. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Not during the retrospect.
That's your time.
Yeah, no one puts Big Ed in the corner.
Yeah.
Next to Baby.
Right. Oh, of course. Me and Baby front and center.
No, I was talking about Baby from...
Yes, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. Yeah, the only thing I like about the movie, there's...
Not to be confused with a really big fat orange cat.
The only thing I liked about Dirty Dancing, there was a 57 Chevy in the movie.
But it was in the 60s, so it could exist.
Yeah, it exists. Yeah, it was a used car then.
But that's the only thing you liked, that's the more...
Pretty much it. That's all I liked about that movie. There is a 57 Chevy in it. And Patrick Swayze, the music was pretty good. Patrick Swayze had to bust the rear window to get in it.
Yep. Well, that's how you had to get in cars like that back then.
Yeah. But if that was my 57 Chevy they used in the movie, I'd be a little pissed. I actually looked into that. You know that, that there's like movie car like rental? Like you use your car as a movie car.
Yeah. Well, in Southern California, the weather's so ideal, it's not uncommon to find like something odd from the 70s just sitting on the side of the road, like parked in front of someone's house.
Right. Well, as a car owner, I looked into this, being like a classic car enthusiast, and it's like, well, I kind of have an oddball 80s vintage car now that there's very few survivors that are around.
Oh, you didn't get your car in a movie.
Right, but it's not profitable. It's like, it's. I already looked into it. You get like 50 bucks a day or
you're
something.
You're like, oh, yeah. We had to jump that one. You're like, what do you mean, jump it?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be parked in the back.
It's just background scenes. Oh, no. We used it as a stunt
car. We used it as a stunt double for the Duke Boy car.
Yeah, it was a stunt double.
I think it jumped a couple creeks and stuff.
But it doesn't look like a 69 Charger. That's okay. We just painted it orange and jumped it over.
We photoshopped it in.
So anyways, but movie car thing, it, unless it's a hero car, which is a car that gets the screen time, there's not money to be made in this movie.
Well, if you wanted to make that a hero car, you'd probably have to put a four barrel in it.
Well, no. It
it's got to be able to do one wheel peels all day.
Well, my car really wouldn't be a hero car because it wouldn't be a car. It would be a background car. It's not that type of car.
Hey!
It would be a background car.
You think your car is going to get sick?
It already knows. It already knows. Yeah, sometimes you just can't change your stars. Or your stripes. Like a zebra. From Kentucky. Kentucky zebra.
Right. The Kentucky zebra. The thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred zebra from Kentucky.
Listen, when I import these zebras, I'll be an honorary Kentucky colonel. Thank you very much.
Well, that's the only... you know my grandparents are Kentucky colonels.
Everyone's a Kentucky colonel.
I'm not a Kentucky colonel. Are you?
Because I haven't hung out in Kentucky long enough. They just give it out.
Are you talking about chicken?
No. Like, being a Kentucky colonel. It's like a real thing. My grandparents had it
framed.
Yeah,
you got to get a seersucker suit.
Yes, seersucker. No, he didn't wear a white top hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. The,
what
Kentucky Fried Chicken were you eating?
Yeah.
I remember a top hat.
He
did not have
it. He ate at Maryland Fried Chicken.
No. They were Maryland Colonels.
Not more quite. Like, more like Maryland Queen.
No.
Never seen
it was like more like Corporal Maryland or something.
Yeah, look it up.
I am.
The colonel never, ever had a top hat.
A top hat.
She's thinking of the little Monopoly guy.
Yeah, all right, wrong guy.
She's going to go to jail and not collect $200.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, no. Okay.
Excuse me.
He had a Santa hat on one.
No. That was a Japanese little advertisement. They've convinced everyone in Japan... It's traditional eat fried chicken on Christmas.
I saw this. Very true.
And the Japanese
ate it up. No pun intended.
They buy buckets of fried chicken on Christmas. And I'm like, no.
No, that's not what we eat.
That's what nobody eats on Christmas.
No.
Really?
I saw that. So the Japanese are brainwashed into that.
Well, they don't understand. This is, you know, pre-internet and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's been going on for so long.
That it's now a tradition.
Yeah, because KFC went there and they weren't doing that well. And some guy's like, well, let's just tell them it's like a traditional Christmas thing. Because Christmas is like a gimmick in Japan.
Right, because there's very few Christians.
Yeah, it's, you know, but they like the festivity of it. They're like, well, that's cool. Everyone gets gifts and decorate stuff. Yeah, that's cool. What not? Why not?
But no Jesus in it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It's a Christmas without, you know.
Without the manger.
Yeah.
Did you know that they started selling this Beyond KFC, like the Beyond Burgers, and they changed the colors of KFC to green and white?
I've never seen that one before.
Me neither. That's not.
Well, that's going to probably end bad for everyone to eat and that stuff.
So, when you were in Japan, did you see this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This,
they would decorate the colonel with Christmas stuff and hat. And...
No, wait, did they have, the Japanese people have Christmas trees just like us? And
did they I've go never been far? In someone's house at Christmas, but there was,
did
you
see Christmas trees for sale in the stores?
They'd use a bonsai tree, put a bulb on it with a light bulb.
You know,
that'd be like a Charlie Brown tree.
Well,
just a little more sturdy.
You know, I was in the military, so some of that stuff blends over, so it's hard to say
what
was one and what was the other. So, you know.
But, what you do is you get a bonsai tree, you go down to the corner to the vending machine, you buy a pair of panties, and you put it on top. They're like, yeah. Fried chicken.
Oh, God. All right. So, on that note, it's that time.
That's a real Charlie Brown Christmas right there.
I should have pushed that button like 60 seconds ago.
Yeah. Because we got panties. Japanese.
Really bad. Wow.
Well, this is, you know what?
That was an authentic accent, too. That was very believable. I thought I was there for a second.
It was almost like the Chinese people at the end of A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ba-ra-ra-ra-ra.
Ba-ra-ra-ra-ra.
La-la-la-la.
He had
that
very
dark
pole,
by the way.
Always free, Britney. And NBA, do the right thing. Globetrotters in. Casey out.
I don't have anything witty to say. Just thanks for listening. This is Big Mike out. I just keep talking over this music like I always do. That's what I like to do. I think they hear me. I think they pay attention past this part.
Bachman, Turner,
BTO.
BTO, baby!
Doing next. But you won't get to hear it because we'll be off the air.